Yesterday we started with the Mishnah at the bottom of page Vav Amud Bet about a Zaken Mamre. The Gemara now is going to dash in the Psukim about what exactly a Zaken Mamre is. So Tanu Rabanan. Pasuk says, Ki Palei Mimcha Davar. So what is Ipalei? Right, the word, the Gemara is looking at the word Ipalei here. What is Ki Palei Mimcha Davar? Bimufla Shibetin Akatu Bidaber. We're talking to somebody who is, now Mufla, the term used in other places in Chas, is Mufla would be the, like the best or the top, which would indicate someone from the Beit Din HaGadol. But that's not what the Gemara means here. Tosfos discussed it earlier in the Masechta also, that here when the Gemara uses Muflash of Beit Din, he's talking about a Mumcha the Beit Din. It means someone who has Smicha, someone who's part of a Beit Din, but not necessarily part of the Beit Din HaGadol. He's part of any Beit Din, but he has a certain amount of Samchut, he has a certain amount of authority, because he is part of a Beit Din. Right. So it's not, that we'll see in a second, which is, we saw that in the Mishnah, that it's only someone who is granted the right of Hora'ah, right? That it's only someone who has the right to Hora'ah that is problem of Zaken Mamre, versus a case of a Talmid where he doesn't have Hora'ah, because as we discussed yesterday, the main issue with Zaken Mamre is the undermining the authority of the Beit Din HaGadol, undermining the authority of Beit Din. It's okay to disagree, that's fine. But once the Beit Din HaGadol has given up Psak, and it's against this individual, then even if you disagree on a theoretical basis or in a on the actual content, but if you go ahead and give a psak halacha against the Beit Din HaGadol, then we have a major issue. We have an issue of you undermining that authority. So we don't mind, or we encourage people to, in a sense, to disagree, because that's where we want to come to the emet, to the truth. But once there's a psak halacha, if you continue to paskin against the Beit Din HaGadol, then we have a major problem, because now you have a division of authority, right, an undermining of that central authority that the Beit Din HaGadol has. So as we're focused on someone who's a mufla Beit Din, someone who has that type of power to give psak, someone who has in his own community or in his own town, his own city, has power in terms of his psak halacha, that's who can be a Zaken Mamre. So keep an eye. So now we came mimcha. What's the word mimcha say? Zeyoetz. This is somebody who is a yoetz. What does that mean? Mimcha yetze choshev al Hashem ra'a yoetz bli al. So over here, it's not your, I would say, classic example of yoetz. Here, it doesn't mean yoetz mean an advisor in the sense that we look at a yoetz, but someone who can be consulted with regards to the Ibra Shana and the Ibra Chodesh. That's someone who is holding in the understanding of the calendrical issues. So he's someone that you can come to and discuss these issues or take counsel with in terms of these issues. So next is Davar. Okay, so you keep alei mimcha, now we're to Davar. Davar, zu halacha. So Rashi says, halacha is halacha. You see Rashi in the header is halacha Moshe mi Sinai. It's not just simply any halacha, it's halacha the Moshe mi Sinai. Right? Limishpat. And so now the puzzle continues. Limishpat zeh din. So here we're talking about din. Now, din is not what you would think. Normally, the Gemara uses the term din. Din means a dine mimononos, means some sort of monetary matter or monetary adjudication. That's not what it means here. Rashi says din is nechlach v'damar amamed mi din gzera shava. I mean, that's something that's learned from a gzera shava. That's what we're talking about, the din over here. Ben dam l'dam. So now, ben dam l'dam means ben dam nida, dam l'da, and dam ziva. In each of these categories, whether it's dam nida, l'da, or dam ziva, that there's could be a question or a machloket about any one of these items, which the Gemara will discuss again. Then we have ben din l'din. So that's obviously why Rashi says before the word din could not mean dine mamonot, because now we have ben l'din, which is literally here now, ben dine nefashot, dine mamonot, dine makot. So it doesn't matter if it's capital punishment, corporal punishment, or monetary matters in disagreement in any of these issues. Ben nega l'nega, ben nige adam, ben nige batim, ben nige begadim. Whether it's a disagreement that relates to anything inside the world of Nigayim, which have three categories, you know, Adam, Beged, and Bayit, right? Whether it's Divrei, so these are Elu Acharamim, Berachim, Vehegdeshot. This is talking about all issues that Alpi, now here we're saying Divrei means the things that come about because of your Dibur, right? That you speak. You can create a cherem, you can create derachim, which we had this with Sparsha, right? The ability to designate the value of an individual to the Mikdash, like they show to be Makdish something. Revolt, things that revolve around disagreements. Zu ashka'at sofa, barifat egla, v'tarat mitzora. So now ashka'at sofa, atzota is obvious that it's a derivative of a disagreement or some sort of discord that comes between a man and a wife. Arifate Gla, as Rashi points out here, Arifate Gla is the halal was killed. The person was killed because there was some sort of disagreement between two parties. And therefore the individual now is dead over here. Terat Mitzara is, as Rashi says, Afne Gaim, Aidei Riv, Shaloshon Arahim Baim. They come from a disagreement. Loshon Hara means sharp words that come between two parties. That's what leads to the punishment of Nigayim. Now, Divrei Rivot Bisharecha. What's Bisharecha? Zuleket Shechal Peah. Right, this is Leket Shechal Peah. They have a disagreement about Leket Shechal Peah. Vekamta. That Kamta means you go from Beidin, Vealita, and then you go up. Melamed Shebeit HaMikdash Gvah Meitz Yisrael teaches you that everywhere in Israel you have to go to the Mikdash. You're going up to the Beit HaMikdash, so that means Mikdash Gvah Meitz Yisrael. Yisrael Gvah Mikol Haaretzot. And Yisrael is higher than all of the land, which is not found here in this pasuk. That we have to deal with in a second. El HaMakom, to the place. Vekam Tavalito El HaMakom. What is the Makom? Melamed Shemakom Goreim. This we had in the first parak, which tells you that the Beit HaGadol is only classified or only has the status of Beit HaGadol when it's in the Lishkat HaGazit, when it's actually sitting in Lishkat HaGazit. As opposed to if he bumps into them at Beit Pagi, he bumps into them and he disagrees with them outside of where they are. Or, earlier in the Masechta also, where Tosfot and Rashi discussed this issue, if the Beit Din HaGadol does not sit in the Lishkat HaGazit, can they be done Dinei Nefashot? Means the Makom Goreim, to the sense that there is no Beit Din HaGadol if they're not in the Makom of the Beit Din HaGadol. Right. So now to show to your question about the why is the Pasuk right, Darshining. Now, if you're really thinking about categorization, then how is Leket Shicha and Peah different than Dinei Mamononot? Or how is that different than whether it's Alach L'Mosh Misai, Mishpat? I mean, that there's certain things that we learn out from the others. They almost seem to be subcategories of earlier parts of the Pasuk. So to say that we're dashing the Pasuk each piece of the Pasuk and say that each one is giving us something new, it's somewhat hard to say that they're not subsumed in earlier categories that come up. So that's why I would suggest that the Gemara knows what it's looking for. It's dashing each of the words, and we'll see now that the Gemara is going to give categorizations about what is the problem here. But what would be the Havamina to say Leket Shicha Peah should not be included in, right? I mean, they have to, why is that need a separate limud versus everything else? I tried yesterday to think through what's the Chumra, but it's very hard to come up with a logical flow to the arguments here. Alright. So Gemara says, Bishlama, so Gemara is now going to dissect the Braito. So Bishlama, Beit HaMikdash Kuvua Meir Tzisrael. Okay, from the Pasuk, you can learn out the Beit HaMikdash is higher in Eretz Yisrael, the Kliv Alita. Because there we're talking about everybody in Eretz Yisrael goes up to the Beit HaMikdash. Now, truthfully, the Beit HaMikdash is not the highest point in Eretz Yisrael, not just topographically, but even when the Gemara discusses when David was picking the Beit HaMikdash, right, it says, Uven Ktefav Shechein. So that he picked the mountain that was not the highest, but there were surrounding mountains around it that give it the feel, right, of Ben Ktefav Shechein, that it was between the shoulders. And we also know that the water source for the Beit HaMikdash came from in Eitam. In Eitam, which in the Gemara Yoma says was 11 amot higher than the Har HaBayit, because otherwise you couldn't get the water from in Eitam to the Har HaBayit. Right, that's just basic law of physics, that you need the source of water to be higher than the destination of the water. So to get it from in Eitam to Beit HaMikdash, in Eitam had to be higher. So it's not literally that the Beit HaMikdash is higher, but in general, it's the highest point. Obviously, you can look at it allegorically in terms of the Pesach, and the Halacha and the Torah and the spiritual side, which obviously probably is the more likely way to explain it. But even physically, it's one of the highest points, in terms of the topography of Eretz Yisrael, but obviously not the highest point. Then Ella Eretz Yisrael Gvah Mikol Haaretzot Minole, but that we don't learn from this pasuk. So where do we know that from? Tichtiv, because it says in Yirmiyahu Lachein Inei Yamim Baim Nu Hashem Lo Yomru O Chay Hashem Ashela Et Bnei Yisrael Eretz Yisrael Kim Chay Hashem Ashela Vesher Yivii Et Zer Beit Yisrael Eretz Tzfona Umikol Haaretzot Asher Yidachtim Sham Veyishvu Al Admatam. Right, so now this is the pasuk in Yirmiyahu, is the promise that Hashem will bring us back. It says here, Chay Hashem Ashela Et Bnei Yisrael Eretz Mitzrayim. And then, Kim Chayashem Ashehela, Vesherevi. Both cases, the description, the pasuk of coming to Eretz Yisrael is He'ela, to go up, right, to make Aliyah, to come to Eretz Yisrael is to be Aliyah. So over here, the Gemara introductions it in the literal sense that it must be that Eretz Yisrael Gvah Mikol Haaretzot, Yisrael is higher than all of the lands, and therefore, it's a, uphill to get to Eretz Yisrael. Obviously, the allegorical sense would be here true also, which is that if B'tzad Ruchaniyut, right, Eretz Yisrael is Gvah Mikol Haaretzot. I mean, that's what we have. Eretz Yisrael is Yoter Kadosh Mikol Haaretzot. Yerushalayim is Yoter Kadosh B'toch Eretz Yisrael. I mean, that their idea is that elevation of Ruchaniyut is also reflected here, the Gemara is talking about in the physical right? That the topography, whether Eretz Yisrael is Gvah Mikol Eretz Ot, and that Eretz Yerushalayim or the Mikdash is higher than all parts in Eretz Yisrael. Right. So Tan Rabbanan. So here we go. Zakein Mamre. These are going to be the broad categories of describing what a Zakein Mamre is, and then we're going to go back and do work through the braisa. Zakein Mamre Inu Chayav Ela Davar Shus Dono Karet V'Shigu Gato Chatat Divrei Bemer. So Remeir lays out the basic principle of a Zakein Mamre. Zakein Mamre is only be chayav if the disagreement revolves around something that is a, if you did it on purpose, but mezid intentionally, you would end up with a chiyuv karet. And if you did it b'shagaga, you would end up with a chatat tivir Rabbi Meir, basically, which in a sense would be the qualification for a chatat. And a chatat only comes on an avera that if you did it b'mezid, you'd end up with a chiyuv karet. So here, when you do it on a unintentionally, you end up with a chatat. That's where Rabbi Meir says the disagreement has to revolve around some halacha like this. It says it has to be something that is in the Torah, but also requires some additional interpretation from the Chachamim, or basically from Torah Sheba'al Peh. It has to be something that is not simply written in the Torah, and therefore you know it, but something that's in the Torah, but requires interpretation of Torah Sheba'al Peh. Now, Rabbi Shimon Omer, afilu dikduk echad mi dikdukei sofrim. Right, that even a smallest issue that is made diktukei sofrim, which we'll have to get to, we're not going to get to in today's daf, but is that, what's a diktuk echad midivrei sofrim? What exactly is included under that category? So my time at the Rabbi Meir, what's Rabbi Meir's reason? Gamar, he learns davar davar. He learns that exer shov, aktiv hocha, kipalei mimcha davar lemishpat. That's why the Zakein Mamre uses the word davar. And it says in the beginning of Vayikra, when it deals with the different chataot, right, the different problems that people can have, God says, right, that the ne'alam davar, something will be lost, and over there, we're discussing the chataot that could be brought, the chataot tzibur, which is the paradalem davar min tzibur, the nasi, the kohen gadol, all of them bring carbonate for problems of shkagah that relate to a psak halacha. So those shkagot come from Nemalam Davar, and what do they revolve around? The same principle as Rabbi Meir says, which has to be a chiyuv karet, that as a shkagah is a chatat. That's where you bring these, that's where you bring a chatat. So Malahalan Davar Shekhayav as a dono karet or shkagot chatat, just like by the Parshat Vayikra, when we're dealing with the chatot there, they come on something that's chayav as dono karet and shkagot chatat. That's where the, right, the paralem davar shel tzibur, or the nasi, or the kohen hamashuach, b'shem hamishcha, those are the korbanot they bring, revolve around these type of erot. Avkan, davar shechayev al dino karet, oshkigo chatat. So now, Rabbi Yehuda, where does Rabbi Yehuda get his principle? It says, al pi haTorah asher yerucha. Right, and the pasuk says, al pi haTorah asher yerucha, based on the Torah they teach you. Well, adi ka Torah vi yerucha. You need Torah, referring to Torah Shebichtav, and Yerucha, to teach you, is the Torah Shebe'al Peh. So you need both aspects. In order to have a problem with the Zakein Mamre, you have to follow the Beis Din HaGadol, Apia Torah, Asher Yerucha, based on the Torah Shebichtav and the Torah Shebe'al Peh. So only in a disagreement where it involves both Torah Shebichtav and Torah Shebe'al Peh, will you have a problem of Zakein Mamre. And again, going back to the original explanation of what the problem with the Zakein Mamre is, he's undermining the authority of the Beit Din. When it comes to something that's explicit in the Torah, right, we don't need the Beit Din HaGadol to tell us that he's wrong. And that's what Zil Kari Beit Darke. Maybe go ask the people in the Cheder. They know how to read the Chumash. So really, when he undermines the authorities, when they have a Torah Shebe'al Peh, interpretation of Torah Shebichtav, that can present a huge problem. That we know that the Gemara fought against for many years, right, in the Tztukim and the Baitusim. And later on, the Rishonim deal with the Karaites, that people who do not accept the Drashot of Torah Shebe'al Peh, that they present a very big, big challenge to the authority of, I mean, both the authority of Torah Shebe'al Peh and the authority of the Chachamim and Beit Din HaGadol, because they don't allow or they do not agree with the drashot of Chazal of the Torah Shebe'al Peh that guides us at how to read the Torah Shebichtav. Now, Rabbi Shimon, so where does Rabbi Shimon get it from? So it says, "Opeh Torah Shirucha be Asher Yagidu Lecha min haMakom Ahu Afilu Kol Dehu." So Asher Yagidu Lecha. So anything they tell you, so that's Afilu Kol Dehu. Anything they tell you. Enough. If you undermine, if you are rejecting anything that has been given from the Beit Din HaGadol, the Asher Yagidu Lecha, that they told you to do, that's already considered a Zakein Mamre. Amalei Ravuna Bar Chinna the Rava. So Ravuna Bar Chinna comes to Rav and says, Targum Ali Laham Etnita Aliba to Rabbi Meir. Please explain to me that Braita according to the Shita of Rabbi Meir. Says, how do you fit Rabbi Meir? Rabbi Meir requires a Zdono Karet. And should you go Chatat? Explain to me all these cases in the Braita according to that sheet of Rabbi Meir. So Amalei Rabba, the Rav Papa. So Rabba says to Rav Papa, poke Tagmalei. Go explain it to him. Right? Hey, this guy needs some help here. You go explain it to him. So, Kipalei. So that's where we're going to go. Bimuflash beidina kata midaber. Mimcha ze yoetz. Sheodela bershanim ulegvoa chodoshim. Right? How do we know that? Ketanan. So, we have a Mishnah. Hey, me yidushim abrim etashana kol adar. Sheomrim ad purim. I say now, do you have a case here where we have a machlokas about until what point in the time of the year are you permitted to make it into a leap year? So we had the Mishnah, which we've was quoted earlier in the Masechta, which is that they are said you only allowed to be Ma'abed Hashana until Purim. What's the problem from Purim? Purim is Shloshim Yom Lifnei Pesach, so they begin to be darshaning Behilchota Pesach. So they begin to darshan Behilchota Pesach, the people are going to know that Pesach is coming in 30 days. When you tell them, no, it's not in 30 days, right? That or it's going to be now in 60 days, they're not going to listen to you because they already start to learn the Hilchot HaPesach. They say, no, when you learn Hilchot HaPesach, it means 30 days away. So therefore, yeah, so that's a problem of being Ma'abed Hashanah after Purim. We don't want you to be Ma'abed Hashanah after Purim. So after Gemara doesn't have a problem with this, necessarily. But that's, Rashi brings it here. We quoted earlier. The problem is Pesach. Purim's a Dintar Abonon. Plus issue with that. Pesach, which involves a Chiyuv Karet, we have a big problem with because it's Chametz. Right, by Pesach, which is a Chiyuv Karet, that we have a major issue with, and we need people to be on board, that's the time. Now, the Machlokas revolves around the other opinion, is that you can be Ma'abrim Shana until the end of Adar. As long as it's not the Nisan, in Ma'abrim, right, Nisan be Nisan, which is that you're not allowed to do it when it already could be the potential for Nisan, but until the 29th day of Adar, you would be permitted to be Ma'abrim Shana. So if the Machlokas revolves around this point, until when are you allowed to be Ma'abrim Shana? Can you be Ma'abrim Shana until Purim? Or even after Purim. So this will be their machlokas. Tosus points out here, and he doesn't have an answer for it, he says, very strange, because even the Gemara early on, who says, according to the opinion, that you only have to be Ma'abed Hashanah until Purim, that's only the Chatchila. B'diyevet, if you do it after Purim, it works. So in the end, what is really their point of machlokas? But leaving that aside, now you have a machlokas about whether you can be Ma'abed Hashanah. They go ahead and they're Ma'abed Hashanah after Purim. So based on their disagreement, one will say you could be Ma'abed Hashanah, one will say you can't. That means Pesach will fall out at different times according to these two opinions. According to one of them, Pesach will be, 30 days after Purim. According to the other, it will be 60 days after Purim, but depending on whether he was effective in making this a Ibur Shanah, effective in making it into a leap year. To either high Gisa, Koshari, Chamez, and Pesach, either high Gisa, Koshari, Chamez, and Pesach. Either way, whether you're the Chumra or the Kula here, you're going to end up being Matir, Chametz, Pesach, depending on which one you think is Pesach. I mean, now you end up with the machlokas about when Pesach is. According to the Pesach of the Zakin Mamre, and according to the Pesach of the Beit Din HaGadol, each one is being Matir the others. So we're dealing about an issue that involves a Chiyuv Karet. We're dealing with Chametz. So that's the first one. Davar, we said ze halacha. So what's ze halacha? We said that's halacha le Moshe mi Sinai. So what halacha Moshe mi Sinai involves a chiyuv karet. So Akamar says, zu yilchot achadasar. That has to do with the achadasar you made ziva. 11 days of you made ziva that are ben nida le nida. So what's that? That goes mina Torah. When the Torah speaks about nida, it says that a woman who sees dam has to wait 7 days of tum'ah. No matter what, she waits 7 days of tum'ah. On the seventh day, she goes to the mikveh, and that night, she is tahora, as long as she's had a hefsek dam. She's no longer seeing any flow of blood. That's min haTorah. The Torah is 7 days of tumat anida, and then the nida is over, as long as she then does not see blood. After that begins, what's called the eschadasar yimei ziva. 11 days of the yimei ziva, which are ben nida le nida. Between each set of nida, between those 7 days, there's 11 days of yimei ziva. This is halacha l'moshe m'sinai, not found in the Torah. That's something that we have through the Mitzorah. What's the 11 days of Yimei Ziva? In 11 days of Yimei Ziva, if a woman sees Dam either 1 day or 2 days during that period of time, she is a Shomeret Yom Keneged Yom. She has to wait a third day. She has to wait an additional day to ensure that she is Torah. If she doesn't see a flow during that additional day and goes to the mikveh, she is Tehorah. If she sees 3 days in a row, she becomes a Zava Gidola. She becomes a Zava Gidola, Zava Gidola. It requires Shiva Nikiyim, 7 days of Nikiyim, and then a Korban that is brought afterwards. Today, we are Choshesh, right? We're Choshesh, or Benot Yisrael, Chmiru Atzman, that's what Nida says, that they always wait, they're Choshesh, that they are Zava Gdola, and therefore they always wait Shiva Nikiyim. So that's what we do here, we're Choshesh, for that problem of Ziva, and the Benot Yisrael, we're Chmiru Atzman, therefore we would always wait Shiva Nikiyim, but that's not Me'ikur Doraita. That's a chumrah that the Bnei Yisrael accepted upon themselves. It's not the what the Torah is describing. So in the Torah, you have 7 days if you made Yidada l'tumah. If the 11 days you made Zivah, comes Alocha l'Moshe Mi-Sinai, that there, if you have 1 or 2 days, Shomeret Yom Keneged Yom, 3 days in a row, will get you to a problem of Zivah Gidola. So what's the issue here? So what are they arguing about? Zimar, this is what they're arguing about. Asiri, the 10th day of the Yimei Zivah. Rabbi Yochanan Amar, Asiri ki Tishii. Shemel Lech Shemar, Asiri ki Chadasar. It's like the 11th. Rabbi Yochanan Amar, Asiri ki Tishii. What does that mean? Matshi by Shimur, Afasiri by Shimur. Now let's think about this. What is the reason that you have to be Shomer Yom Keneged Yom? Why do you wait an additional day B'Tara afterwards? Because you want to ensure that you don't have 3 days in a row of Yimei Zivah. So if you have 3 days in a row of Yimei Zivah, then you can have a Zivah Gdolah. What happens, and this is the case that we're discussing here, at the end of the 11 days of the Yimei Zivah? For instance, let's take the easiest one, is the 11th day. On the 11th day of the Yimei Zivah, if a woman has a sighting of Dam on that day, there is no way she can become a Zavah Gdolah. It's impossible for her to become a Zavah Gdolah. Why? Because she can never get 3 days in a row. The next day she sees a Dam, she becomes a full-fledged Nida. It's the beginning of her new, it's called Petach L'Nida. It's the beginning of a new period of Nida, which would start as soon as she sees Dam the next day. So therefore, if she sees on the 11th day, we don't say anything. The 11th day, she doesn't be Shomer Yom Keneged Yom. There's nothing there. The 11th day can never add up to 3 days in a row. Right now, on the other hand, the 9th day. On the 9th day, would you have to wait the Shomer Yom Keneged Yom? Yes. Why? Because the 9th, 10th, and 11th could make up 3 days. So it's clear on the 9th day, she's going to have to wait Shomer Yom Keneged Yom, because there's a possibility she could reach a Zavah Gdolah by the 9th, 10th, having sightings on the 9th, 10th, and 11th. What happens to the 10th? That's the machlokes between Reish Lakish and Rabbi Yochanan. What is the status of the 10th day? So Rabbi Yochanan says the status of the 10th day is like the 9th day. Just like the 9th day by Shimur, the 10th day also requires Shimur. Why? Because the 10th day has a day after it, the 11th day. True, you can't reach the 3 days to be a Zavah Gdolah, but you still have a day afterwards, and that day afterwards will allow you to be Shomer, right, the Keneged, the 10th day. So that's what Rabbi Yochanan says. Rabbi Yochanan says that if you have a sighting... Right, it's becoming Torah. Right, not becoming a Zavah Gdolah, but just a din in the 10th day that you have to be Shomer, Yom Keneged Yom. Right, it will never end up as a Zavah Gdolah. But nevertheless, you have to be Shomer, that's the din of the 10th day. Reish Lakish says no. Right, that the Asiri Kechadasar, just like the 11th day can't reach a point of Zavah Gdolah, so too the 10th day can't. So Reish Lakish says, 10th day is nothing. Don't have to do any Shimur for the 10th day. Don't have to be Shimur Betara. So now, Amar says, Rabbi Yochanan Amar Chi, right, Asiri Kchi, Machi by Shimur, Afisri by Shimur, Reish Lakish Amar, Asiri Kechadasar. The 10th day is like the 11th day. Ma'achadasar lo by Shimur, Afisri lo by Shimur. So over here we have now a machlokas Rabbi Yochanan and Reish Lakish. Rabbi Yochanan says is there one din in the 11th day. What's the din of the 11th day? The only din of the 11th day is that it itself does not require Shimur. Reish Lakish says, no, there are two dinim in the 11th day. Right? One day is that it doesn't buy Shimur for itself. Number two is it can't be a Shimur for the 10th day. I mean, it's not useful in terms of the 10th day because that Shimur is not going to do anything for you. You're going to end up in a Petach L'Nida the next day. So requiring the Shimur is nothing. Oh, okay. Now what? So now they have a machlokas about this. What does this affect? Where's the Chiyuv Karet here, right? What are we dealing with? So we're dealing with a, right, Zavah Gdolah. We're dealing with Hilchot Nida. So we're talking about Nida. Now we're talking about an issue that involves a Chiyuv Karet. Because Nida, it's, the Nida itself could, if it, whether it's a bowl Nida, right, the person who sleeps with the Nida is Chayav Karet. Right now, she could go chatat. So therefore, over here, whether the woman is classified as a nida or whether she's a zavah gdolah, or what's the status of the woman in these days, will be impacted by whether she requires shimur or doesn't require shimur when she has a sighting on these days. Requirement for shimur means that she is tamei until she does a shomeret yom keneged yom. She is tamei. Or do we say that since she cannot do a shmirah, then she's not tamei, she doesn't have a din of nida? So if this machlokas revolves around this, we're talking about something that is dono karet on the shomeret yom keneged yom. On that shomeret yom keneged yom, you end up with a, whether she has to be a shimur, whether she has to watch b'tara the next day, we have nafkamina, whether she's allowed to be with her husband or not be with her husband, according to Reish Lakish and Rabbi Yochanan. And that revolves around a chiyuv karet. Tosos, on the other hand, says that the case here, and it will come up again on the next Talmud, is a case where she touches a kikar shel truma. She touches a piece of bread, right, that has truma. And now we want to know, what can you do with this truma? Now, what do you do with this? He goes ahead, and he's mekadesh and isha with that truma. Now, if he's a kohen is allowed to be mekadesh and isha with truma, because it's his money, And he's allowed to give it to the woman as a, it's worth a shavah pruta, he can give it to the woman. But that's only true if the, the truma is Torah. Truma Torah has real value. Never you can mekadesh an isha with it. On the other hand, if truma tmeah is worthless. Truma tmeah, all you can do with it is burn it. You can use it for light, you can use it for burning it as a candle, for fuel. It's not any value to it. So therefore, you can be cannot be mekadesh an isha with it. Unless it really adds up to, you have to have a lot of it to get up to a shavah pruta. So the machlokas here might have impact on whether someone takes this truma and then is mekadesh an isha with it. So again, the machlokas that revolves around Mishlokas Rabbi Yochanan about whether the woman's tmeah affects whether she makes truma tmeah or not. And her making truma tmeah changes the monetary value of that truma, whether a kohen can be mekadesh an isha with it. So that'll be enough. I mean, again, you can come up with a hechitimsa like this that you'll end up with a chiyuv karet. Because you have a case where is a woman married or not married? Will depend on your machlokas, what you think the din is with regards to Mishlokas Rabbi Yochanan, whether this woman is really tmeah or not tmeah. Alright, now, next case was Mishpat Zeadin. What's the din here? We're talking about Gzereshava. That's Gzereshava we saw in the, right, just more recently in the previous parakim. Bito mianusato. How do we know that a daughter that comes through a case of anusa, how do we know that they're restricted, a daughter is restricted in erva? Damarava, amalav yitzchak, barabdumi, atya heina heina, atya zima zima. That's Gzereshava of heina heina zima zima teaches you. Just like in the other case, we have two generations and not one generation. So too over here, we have two generations, not one generation. Number two is you learn Zima Heina Heina, that we also learn out that it's a Chiyuv Sreifa over here. So all those Limudim come out of Gzereshava. Bito Mianu Soto, the source for Bito Mianu Soto is a Gzereshava. So that's a din that's Gzereshava. It's a Chiyuv Erva. So that also over here, we can have a case of Chiyuv Erva. So this points out over here, there is no machlokas about this. But all these other cases, we're talking about two opinions. So therefore, they're arguing about who's right. Over here, there's no. So you have to say, what the argument here is that he doesn't agree to the Gzera Shava. Right? There's no other opinion. Everybody has this Gzera Shava, at least even Abaye, who argued with Rav over there, Rav answers for Abaye that he needs the Gzera Shava. The question is, how much to use the Gzera Shava? What's the extent of the Gzera Shava? But nevertheless, everybody holds this Gzera Shava. So the machlokas here is whether you've done this Gzera Shava or not, whether Bito Minosoto is a Surah, if she's a Surah or not, it revolves around a Chiyub Karet. That's Erva. Erva is a Chiyub Karet. Alright, next case is Ben Dam Ladam, Ben Dam Nida, Dam Ledan Dam Ziva. So Nam Nida, what's Machokas in Dam Nida? It's been plugged at Kavya Mimin Halal Virabonon. Titnan, we have a Mishnah, Dama Yaruk, right? Green blood. I'll tell you that in general, the Gemara, when it uses the term yarok, it's not necessarily green, but rather a yellow. It's more of a yellowish tint rather than a green. The term like Esther, yakrak roket, haita. And she was yakroket. So what is that? Yakroket, that Esther was green? I don't know, that doesn't really, but she was yellow, that makes more sense. That's a, right, it's a coloring that looks, that's found within human beings, but something that could be, you know, over there, the Gemara is talking about how she wasn't so pretty or beautiful. She was fasting for 3 days. She was pale, she was gaunt, meaning that she looked a little yellow. That you could understand. Now you have to think in the Gemara whether Yaruk is really green or Yaruk is more of a yellowish type of color, which probably makes more sense of also in Dam Nida. Dam Nida doesn't tend to be, right, green. Yellow, or a, you know, tinge of a mucousy type of color, that could make sense over here. So they Dam Yaruk. Kav Yubim Mahalo Matamei. Gamil says it's Tamei. Chamim Mitaharim. Chamim say it's Tahor. So here, you can actually come up with an issue which revolves around Hilchot Nida. Because the question is she a Nida or is she not a Nida? So for instance, she saw, let's call this it, she saw the Dam Yarok, and then 2 days later she sees Dam Adom. Right? So she sees red blood 2 days later. When did her Nida start? Is she a Nida from the time she saw the Dam Yarok? Or is she only a Nida when she sees the red blood 2 days later? What's the difference? Well, if you only have to wait, if you have to wait 7 days, in Minat Torah, you wait 7 days, and then, she's Tehora, assuming she doesn't have any more blood flow. When did the 7 days start? Did the 7 days start from when she saw the Dam Yarok? Right? Or is the 7 days only start from the time that she saw the Dam Adom? Makes a big difference. Also, afterwards, if she sees Dam on the 8th day after she saw the Dam Yarok, and the 9th day, and maybe the 10th day, is she a Zavag Dola, or is she a Nida? When did her Nida end? The 7 days, she can see as much blood, and it makes no impact, has no impact on the situation. She's Tahor, or Torah, the moment the 7th day ends, as long as she doesn't see blood. But now she saw blood on the 2 subsequent days that are after the Dam Yarok, but they still are within the 7 days of the Da'am Adom. So now, again, the machlokes between Akavi ben Hillel and the Chachamim will make a big difference. Is she a Nida? When did her 7 day period end? Did it end, right, 7 days after the Dam Yarok or 7 days after the Dam Adom? Again, here, you're going to have a Chiyuv Karet that revolves around this machloket here, about what the status of the woman is. Next, machlokes. What are we talking about? Dam Leida. What about Dam Leida? Blood that comes at the time of birth. That is Beplukta de Rav Levi. That's machlokes Rav and Levi. Dima Rav Amar Mayan Echadu Hatara Timato Batarati Arato. Levi Amar Shnei Mayanotem. We have a locha in Litin, Parsha Tazria. A woman gives birth for the first 7 days after she gives a zakhar, the dam is tmeya. For the next 33 days, she has dam tehora. By a female that she gives birth to, the first 14 days is dam tmeya. The next 66 days is dam tehora. Why is it dam tmeya and why is it dam tehora? Well, Rav says, I'll tell you why it is. That's what the Torah said. Torah said, it's Tamei. Torah says, it's Tahor. It's the same blood flow. It's just the Torah told you, after 7 days, it's Tahor. After 14 days, it's Tahor. Right? Or it's Torah. That's it. There's nothing to discuss here. Levi says, no. It's actually Shnei Mayanotem. They derive from a different source, or they are, the flow has a different, whatever it is, some physical properties to it. Therefore, according to Levi, you, first 7 days, the first 14 days that she is Tmeya, is based on the flow that began after the birth. Then, in order to switch to the Dam HaTehora, she has to have some sort of stop, some sort of break in the flow, and then the next flow that comes out will be Dam Tehora, because it's starting from a new place. And the same thing at the 80th day or the 40th day, depending on the Zachar Nekeva, that the blood that flows after that point in time turns into Dam Tmeya again. According to Rav, the Dam after that point is Tamei or Tmeya, because that's what Hashem said. After the 80th day, after the 40th day, it's Tamei. Levi says again, no, it's coming from a different Mayan. It comes from a different source. So therefore, after the 40th day, after the 80th day, in order for you to switch from Dam Torah to Dam Tamei, you need a break again in the flow. So this Machlokas, that's what they're arguing about. The Zakim Mame and Bezin are arguing about whether you need a break in the flow or you don't need a break in the flow. So whether it's in the, at the point of the 14 days or 7 days or at the point of the 40 and the 80 days, if you don't have a break or do have a break, has a big nafkamina about what the status of the woman is. Does she have Dam Torah? Or does she have Dam Tmei? Ah, that's what we're discussing over here. So the difference between them is whether a woman has a continuous flow, right? Whether she actually has Dam Torah. If she has a continuous flow, does she become Tmeya again at the end if it goes over the 40th day or the 80th day? So that's a nafkamina between them. And again, here you have a difference about whether this woman is a status of Nida, or she has a status of Dam Tmeya. Can the husband be with his wife? If it's Dam Torah, right, it's permissible. If it's Dam Tmeya, then it would be impermissible. She would be Tmeya, and you can't, right, be together with one's wife. The Tamei closes, the Torah opens. Nistama Torah at the 80th and the 40th days, when the Torah closes, Niftacha Tamei, the Tamei opens up again. But now, Dam Ziva, what's the case of Dam Ziva? But Plukta, the Rabbi Lazar, the Rabbi Yoshua. She was in her Yermei Ziva, those 11 days that we spoke about before, and she has a blood flow for 3 days straight. But in those days, she's also having labor pains. She's about to give birth. She had labor pains for 3 days in a row. Im shaftam ate the eight, v'yalda. If they subsided for 24 hours, the labor pains, and then gives birth, harizil yoledet bezov, diri Rabbi Elazar. Rabbi says that's a woman who is not both a yoledet and a zava. She has 3 days full of blood flow during the Yemei Ziva. She becomes a zava gdola. Ah, how do we know that the blood flow was not from the birth? Because she had a break. The labor pain subsided for 24 hours, May 8th. Now, Rabbi Yeshua says, no, Laila v'yom kelele Shabbat v'yomo, that the break has to be a night and a day, literally a night and a day. Not 24 hours, but a night and a day. It has to be a full day, but a day that starts at night and goes through the daytime, like Shabbos. So based on that, v'yomo sheshafta menetzar v'lo menadam. She has to have a stop in the labor pains, but not from the blood flow. It doesn't have to be the blood flow stops, she has to stop from the labor pains. So now you have a case here with a woman who is having difficulty, labor pains, coming into the labor. She's seeing a blood flow at the same time she's having the labor pains. How do we know if the blood flow is not from her Leida or it is from her Leida? So the answer, or there's Machlokes Rabbi Shimon, Rabbi Yeshua, has to do with what's the breaking point, or what's the division. If there is labor pains due to the birth, then the blood, we just assume, all came from the Dam Leida. And there's nothing to discuss over here. On the other hand, if she has some sort of right? They subside. The labor pains subside for either 24 hours or day and night and day, depending on the shita. Then we say that the first 3 days, she was a zavag dola. That blood flow, that relates to her normal cycle. And if she's a zavag dola, now she gives birth, that's dam leida. So this will be a woman who gives birth be ziva. And she will require shiva nikiim to become tehora. That means that if she, afterwards, she has the dam, she has dam tmeah for 7 days or 14 days, that she can't do anything about, then she would have, normally have, after leida, dam tohora. But now, because she's a zavag dola, she remains tmeah. She remains tmeah, and until she has shiva nikiim, she will not become tohora, they will not switch to dam tohora. That's one. And number two is, at the end of her time period of being a yoledet, she'll have to bring two karbanot. One korban for being a yoledet, and one korban for being a zavag dola. Not just the karban for yoledet. So this is a nafkamina between them. So that machlokas here, the zakin mamre, and this individual having a machlokas of whether this woman is a zavag dola or she is not a zavag dola, that will have impact on the yimei tara that come afterwards. Meaning after the 7 days of the birth of a boy, after the 14 days of the birth of a girl, there you have the 33 days of tara, or 66 days of tara. Those days of tara will be impacted on whether she is a zavag dola or not. So there you have another nafkamino that has a din in chiyuv karet. Just as an aside, today, this is what we have today. We are choshesh. For every woman that gives birth, we're choshesh, she's a led b'nida. Right? We say that because a woman is a nida b'tipat dam, with even the smallest amount of dam, we're choshesh that every woman that gives birth, right, is a led b'nida. That she was actually a nida before she was actually giving birth. And therefore, we classify every woman who gives birth today as a nida. But not only do we classify her as a nida in terms of she has to wait 7 days of tuma like the Doraisa, but we do it based on what we hold today, which is that we hold of Yumei Ziva, that we hold that every woman says Yumei Ziva. Therefore, every Yoledet has a status today of a Yoledet Bizava. That's how we classify the woman. And therefore, you can't, a woman is restricted to her husband from the time that she's really on the birthing stone and she starts to see dam, restricted from her husband until the time that she can have Shiva Nikiim. She gets Shiva Nikiim, which usually takes a significant portion of time, like 3 months or so, before a woman is permissible to the husband again. Even though technically, if she could see Shiva Nikiim at any point in time, after the 7 days for a boy, after 14 days for a girl, she would have Tmei Tara, and she would be permissible to her husband. Nevertheless, because the 7 days of Tuma and the 14 days of Tuma will apply towards her Nida also, and she'd be finished with the Nida, and she could really become Tehora in that period of time. Technically, if she could see Shiva Nikiim, she would become Tehora in that period of time. The Minhag Anafutz, that's what the Ramah brings down, is that we wait until afterwards. We don't use the Dmei Tara. Then we, even when she got Shiva Nikiim during the Dmei Tara, we don't allow her to be with her husband. That's the Minhag Am. Although, from a practical standpoint, it's very difficult for a woman to get to a point where she can have Shiva Nikiim during those days, in the first 40 or 80 days after she gives birth. It's very, very difficult. And we wait, because of that, we wait till way after the... way after, usually around 3 months or so, till a woman can actually get Shiva Nikiim from the blood flow that stops from the birth and be Torah to be Torah for her husband again. All right, now the Gemara says, okay, the next case. What was the next? Ben Din Ladin. Dine Mamonot, Dine Fasho, Dine Makot. What's Dine Mamonot? That's Machloke, Shmuel, Rabbi Abou. Dama Shmuel, Shnaim Shidanu, Dine Am Din. If you have two judges, not three, their din is a good din. El Shinikim, Beitim Chatsu. For Abou, Amar, Ladivya Ko, Ain Dine Am Din. Their din is not a din. So what's the problem here? So, okay, they argue about whether this is a din or not a din. Well, that's a monetary matter. In a monetary matter, who does the money belong to? Is the psaka based in binding or not binding over here? Why would that make a difference? If the man takes the money and is Mekadesh and Isha with it. Is Mekadesh and Isha with his money? Was it his money or not his money? Is she married to the first man? Or is she not married to the first man? If she accepts kedushin after that from another man, is she married to the second or the first? And we don't, based on the machlokas here, will determine whether she needs a get from each individual or not. So here you have a machlokas that can end up in a chiyuv karet. He's talking about ish and ish. Talking about ish and ish because the money, if it belongs to him or not, will determine whether this woman is married to him or not married to him. So dinin of fashot, what's the dinin fashot case? But look at the rabbi of rabbonon. The tanya rabbi omer, venatata nefesh tachat nefesh mamon. Tamar mamon uenu ela nefesh mamash. Never nitina lamala, but never nitina lamata. Malala mamon, afkan mamon. We just had this in the previous parak, which is nitkavin la ragadzeh, ba ragadzeh. Someone who intended to kill a specific individual and ends up killing someone else. What is the punishment for that individual? We had a three-way machloket there. Rabbi believes that you compensate, that you pay monetary compensation to the individual or to the yorshim of that individual. Chami believe you get the death penalty, that you're chayim mita, and Tam de Bechizkiya said that you get neither. No money compensation and no death penalty. But based on that, now that machlokas, now you have something that involves, right, a question about the mamon. This monetary compensation to the individual, is it deserving? Is it his money or not? Rashi closes over here, it's like, imtafsu yorshim, daharug. If the yorshim of the person who was the victim over here come and grab the money, are they really entitled to money? Is it really their money? I don't know why Rashi had to use the word tough, it had to be a tough fest case here. Does Bezin, if Bezin gives a psach halacha that he owes him money. Now, did he really owe him money? That depends if you hold like Rabbi or if you don't hold like Rabbi. I mean, Rabbi says you owe money to the victims or the victim's relatives. So now, do you owe that money or not owe that money? That'll make a difference again for Kiddushin. Right? If that money is then used to be Mekadesh and Isha, did it belong to the individual or not belong to the individual? So that's it. Rashi. There's no chiyuv karet then. I mean, that we're dealing with something that has to be a chiyuv karet and shugugato chatat. That's not by murder, that's not the case. Murder doesn't involve a shugugato chatat. So that's not the case. Might be that the Hashem takes care of this person if we don't, but that still doesn't mean there's a shugugato chatat. We're looking for a b'meir shita of zdono karet and shugugato chatat. Right, it is a life issue, but it's not a issue that matches up with Rabbi Meir once. Okay, next case, what about makot? So, case of makot, so that is beplukta, the Rabbi Shmuel Rabbanon. Makot is Rabbi Shmuel Rabbanon. It's not. Makot be gimel, mishum Rabbi Shmuel Amru bechav gimel. Do you require a basin of 3 or require a basin of 23? So now, according to, Rabbi Shmuel, if Rashi says, if you take him to a basin of 3 and give him makot, that basin is chayiv compensation to him, because they didn't act as an authority. Of Beis Din, they weren't acting with the authority of Beis Din, they were acting as individuals. You hit someone else, you gotta pay. A chovel b'chaveiro, someone who hits another person has to compensate them. So that's over here also. Is compensation due, or is compensation not due over here from this Beis Din? So if you believe you need 23 to be a Beis Din, if you hit him with 3, you give him malkos when you're only 3, that means that it's like you took your friend and you hit him, you gotta compensate him. According to opinion, says 3 is a good Beis Din for malkot, those were good malkot, they were doing it under the auspices of a Beis Din. So again, that money that's owed, Rashi claims of tafsu, again, if he grabbed the money that he's owed, or a Beis Din, again, allocates money to him, to this individual. Now, based on that, it's a machlokas between them, but the money, and the money can be used for kesef kiddushim. Same problem that we had before. Next case, ben nega le nega. Ben negidei adam, negei begatim, negei begadim, negei adam. What's the machlokas negei adam? Bepukta Rabbi Shua b'rabbonon. The tam, im baheret kadam l'seyar lavan. If the baheret, if the nega tzarat was there before the white hairs, tamei. Im seyar lavan kadam l'baheret. If the white hairs are there before the baheret, tahor. Safek. If we don't know what came first, tamei. Rabbi Yeshua Omer, keha. Yisrael says keha. Rashi says keha. Keha means lighter. In that it's too light. It's a bohak. It's a bohak, which is a tzarat that is too light to be considered a nega tzarat. So that's what Rabbi Yeshua says over here. If it's a safek keha, make it like a non-nega. So Rabbi Yeshua claims that it's tehora. That when you have a safek, whether they came first or the hairs came first or came last, and we just say he is tahor. That the nega tzarat is not considered a nega. That's the way Rashi reads keha. Tosfos reads keha with a kuf. Kiha. Rabbi Yeshua keha, he was sharp. He looked into the matter. He took a lot of look. He took a deep look into the matter. What did he conclude? That's what Gemara says now. Ma keha. So Rashi says, what does it mean, ma keha? So amar rava keha tahor. Right? That keha means tahor. According to Rashi, keha means tahor because in Parshat Tzarat, when we say that it has to be v'amok, right, that it has to be deep, that the has to be deep, there Rashi discusses the color. The white color has to be so white that it looks deeper than the surrounding skin. Keha is too light, means that it's not a, right, deep enough white that it looks deeper on the arm. So keha means tahor. That's the way Rashi is reading. Tosfos is reading kiha. Kiha means that he was sharp and he looked into the matter. The Gemara wants to know kiha. Okay, so he looked into matter. What was the conclusion? So that's Avraham Arba says, Kiya Tahor. He looked into it and he came to the conclusion that it should be Tahor in this case. So now, what's the issue here? What's the issue of Karet over here? So the issue of Karet is, Rashi claims that the issue of Karet over here is that if he's Nichnas Le Migdash, if he goes into the Migdash, so he's Chayav Karet, and for Bishu is Patur. Someone who's Tamei and enters into Migdash is Chayav Karet, if he does it with Mezid, If he does it b'shogeg, what does he chayav? That's the problem here. What is he chayav when he's a shogeg? Enters mikdash b'tum'ah. What's the chiyuv? Karban ole v'yoreid. Not a karban chatat. Rashi claims that the problem here is entering the mikdash. Tosfos says, what are you talking about? You can't be talking about that. That's a karban ole v'yoreid. It's not a karban chatat. So Tosfos says, this problem here is the same problem I had by truma. He says, what happens if the mitzorah touches a truma? And that was a trumat meyar, trumat Torah. And the Kohen uses that to be mekadesh and isha. Is he married or not married? It will depend on whether this mitzorah is tamei or not tamei. So this question of a safek case by mitzorah, tamei or tahor, this machlokus, so that's machlokus between the zaken mamre and the beit, and you could have a correct implications in terms of the tum'ah. Correct. All right, nige batim. What's the machlokus nige batim? Beplukta the Rabbi Elazar, Rabbi Shimon Rabbonon. Right, what is that? Rabbi Elazar, Rabbi Shimon. It's not Rabbi Elazar, Rabbi Shimon. Omer leolam ein abayit tamei ad shirek shnei kvisim al shtei avanim b'shtei kotolim kotlim b'keren tzavit arkok shnei kvisim rechavol kegris. Right, we had this actually. We had this in the Gemara earlier on Ayin Aleph. My time, I'll explain in a second. Rabbi Elazar, Rabbi Shimon, k'tiv kir, k'tiv kirot. The pasuk by Nigei Batim, it says on the wall, and also says on the walls in plural. So what is it? Is it on a wall or not on the walls? Izu kir shu ki kirot. Which wall is like two walls? That's the corner. The corner is, that's Avi Omer, Keren Zavit. That is a case of Keren Zavit. What is the Keren Zavit? Keren Zavit's the corner. So according to Rabbi Elazar, Rabbi Shimon, the nega has to appear on a corner. And not only does it have to appear on a corner, it has to be on two stones in the corner. And two stones on the corner, it has to be shnei grisim by a gris. Everybody agrees that you need one gris by one gris to be on each stone. So that's two grisim wide. One gris high is the shape or the designation of this negatzarat, and has to appear in the corner along two stones along the corner. So those two stones along the corner, that makes it a nega or negatzarat. That's according to Rabbi Elazar Shimon. On the other hand, the chamim do not require it that it be on right the corner. They say it has to be on. There's absolutely a machlokus in the Mishnah Negaim, but it has to appear on one stone or on two stones for the other shitot over here. And whether it finds a one stone or two stone, it has to be one grease by one grease or two grease by one grease if it's two stones. And how many stones do you need in the house? That has to be made up of four stones around the walls or eight stones around the walls. Will depend on how much you need to be. But this machlokus, again, is it classified as a bayit menuga or not classified as a bayit menuga? Someone who enters there will become tamei or not tamei based on whether it's a bayit menuga or not. When you walk into a bayit menuga, you're a tamei. Because as negayim have a din of ohel, right? And whoever enters into the house becomes tamei. So they have implications again, according to Rashi, for entering the mikdash, according to Tosfos, touching truma, making something tameah, and then if you're mekadesh nisha with it. So again, this tuma, they have a machlokas, so whether it's tamei or not, based on this machlokas of what is considered negay batim. Now, negay bigadim, what about negayim on a beged? So that refers to machlokas between plukta de Rabbi Natan ben Abtumlumus verabonan. The Tanya, Rabbi Natan ben Abtumlumus, omer minan, the prichab bigadim shi Torah. How do you know that when a negatzarat spreads over the entire beged, it's tohara? Yemra karachat v'gabachat ba'adam. Uses the term karachat v'gabachat ba'adam. Over there, it's referring to the parts of the head where the nega comes, whether it's on the front of the head or the back of the head where he loses the hair and the nega shows up over there. Karachat and gabachat. Right? Yemra karachat v'gabachat b'gadim. It uses the term karachat v'gabachat by b'gadim. Over there, what do you mean? Karachat. A kareach. You don't have a bald shirt. What does karachat and bagachat, karachat and gabachat mean by beged? There, unkla is translated to mean new begadim and old begadim. Karachat and bagachat. Whereas, there, the gezer shavah now is being learned, according to Rabbi Nachman, it's malahalam parach b'kulo tahar. Just like by a human being, if the negatzarat spreads over the entire body, he is tahor. So, tu afkan be parach b'kulo tahar. Right? Also here, where it spreads across the whole beged, if the tarat expands over the whole beged, it's a beged tahor. So that'd be the machlokas here. Machlokas here, do we don this gabachat, karachat, gabachat, gzeira shava, or gilui milsa? That just like by a human being, if the tzarat extends over his whole body, is tahor. So to a beggar, if the tzarat extends over the whole beggar, is he tahor. That machlokas between Rabbi Natan ben Abtumlus, right, and the Rabbanon will determine whether this beggar is tahor. Now you have a beggar that has a tzarat over the entire beggar. Is it tahor or tamei? But Natan ben Abtumlus says it's tahor, the chum says tamei. So that beged, now, again, a person comes, that beged touches truma. That beged that makes something else, tmeyah, or is worn by an individual and then goes into the mikdash, going to Rashi, but more likely totsis, where it touches truma, tmeyah, and then it's used for kiddushin. Is the truma worthwhile, have value to it or not have value? It depends if it's tmeyah or not. So when this beged is tmeyah or not, will determine whether the truma is tmeyah or not. So that's another case of Chiv Karet, and Shugal Chatat. We'll have to finish up the second in the Breita. Tomorrow goes through pretty far down. Tomorrow's Amud, going through all the remaining cases in the Breita. Okay, we'll stop here.